Get ready for a week-long celebration of music, community, and fabulous fun with Joy Radiothon 2024. Joy has the largest collection of rainbow podcast content in the world, and you can help keep us out loud and proud by donating during Joy Radiothon 2024. Just go to joy.org.au/radiothon. Mark it in your calendars because Joy Radiothon returns June 1st to 7th. And remember, we all flourish with joy.
Meat is murder.
Strange.
Occupation is a crime.
Odd.
As a black, lesbian, feminist, socialist, poet.
Weird. Out of the ordinary.
Bomb them back to the Stone Age. Say it's for their own good because their culture's inferior.
Queeries. A queer take on the world.
You're listening to Queeries, a queer take on the world. In the studio today, you have Madeline on the panel, myself, Emma, and Lana Wolf with Rashan at the reception desk, signing people in as we speak. Today in Melbourne, the ALP is considering its position on marriage equality at their party conference. Marriage equality is, of course, a very hot topic for queers, and there'll be very few queers who think that we should not have the right to marry if we desire to do so. But just because some queers want to get married, we're not quite sure if you consider marriage equality itself as being very queer. Today we will be exploring how queer marriage equality is and comparing and contrasting it to the other type of relationship model, to that of the dominant and submissive relationship model.
Yeah, so we want to know what you think about marriage equality how you compare and contrast. Email onair@joy.org.au or SMS 0427JOY949. Now, to start off, I found a piece of audio in which a Christian minister from a Protestant church is giving a sermon on maintaining your marriage vows. Here's what he has to say.
Do you take her who you hold by the hand to be your true and lawful wife, to love and cherish her in joy or pain, in sickness or health, and forsaking all others to cleave to her only so long as you both live? Marriage vows and the covenant that we make with each other when we're getting married is sacred. It's not just poetic words on a sheet of paper. It's not just you saying I do to pre-rehearsed verbiage. It's when God allows for us to make a covenant forever with the person that we will spend the rest of our life with. If you keep your vows will keep you. God loves marriage. God upholds the marriage vows. The person you married, God sees you married to them.
That was a piece of audio from a Christian minister giving a sermon on maintaining one's marriage vows. The person you married, God sees you married to them.
Does God really see you?
Well, that's another question.
That's for another week.
Yeah, so I thought, marriage vows recap. Next up, we'll be hearing from someone who thinks that if queers want to get married, they should be able to, but thinks that the institution of marriage is one which really should be handed back to the church, that it is an institution that isn't particularly compatible with a queer lifestyle and thus is not queer. This is what a young radical queer, Fury, has to say.
I think that individually and on a personal level, then queers should be able to marry who they want. It, as strange as I find that compulsion, I think that people should be allowed it, because marriage traditionally is a very messed up institution with a lot of historical baggage. But I do respect people who take that tradition and make it their own and queer that tradition. Historically, of course, we all know that it was a contract between families in which a daughter was exchanged for, like, a property exchange, basically. And it was to do with solidifying houses. It was to do with solidifying political power. it was to do with solidifying monarchy. So that women were basically exchanged as a way of political and economic means tying to houses through genetics. At its very history and very core, it doesn't exactly treat women very well. Marriage is also historically to do with producing children and fostering a line and breeding and genetics and stuff like that. And as queers, whilst this is a factor in some queer lives, generally this is something that doesn't super come into it, partly because a lot of queers physically can't have children with the ones that they love, genetically and biologically, but also the notion of monogamous nuclear unit isn't really something that is particularly queer in society. It's largely a heteronormative, two children, two parents, white picket fence, the dog, you know, the nuclear family. And queers have a long history of messing with that, with, you know, being polyamorous, taking more than one lover, with having a lot of casual sex, with having open relationships. And so it sort of seems like a shift towards something that is so far from the queer experience that it strikes me as strange that queers would want that, largely because we've been shut out from it in history and largely because it's not something that has gone hand in hand with marginalized sexual and gender identity.
That was Fury talking about their take on marriage and the inclusion of queer people in the institution. Now, I think we have to acknowledge that some people see a difference between traditional marriage being in the church and marriage today.
We do, and the statistics coming out now that the majority of churches are not conducted, and marriages are not conducted in churches. They are civil ceremonies, which also goes to our sermon about your marriage vows. That is not where the majority of marriage vows are given. They are given in civil ceremonies at the choice of the participants, without any church oversight. But it does take a lot of the tradition of marriage is largely church-based, and that's what a lot of people look at it at. And something Fury is also quite hot on is the romanticised notion of marriage equality against what it has done, and certainly for centuries, how it oppressed and disempowered women.
Mm.
And it put in pretty much contract form that they had nothing.
Well, it is still a contract. Marriage is still a contract. The symbols of marriage, even the symbols that are coming out of America of same-sex couples getting married, it's still the same kinds of symbols, white dresses implying purity. Yeah.
And yet we know that that's not the reality. So does that mean that marriage isn't relevant?
Well, I'm not sure. And the question is, marriage equality queer? In that form, I'm pretty certain it's not. And that bothers me. The other thing that bothered me a little bit out of the symbols coming out of America is that you have a marriage equality decision being handed down, and there's 37 states where you can be fired for being gay.
Mm.
And I don't get that. I think that, and Fury agrees, that's completely cart before the horse. There are a whole lot of freedoms that are more fundamental than that. Ireland, on the other hand, had the vote, marriage equality passed, and they then proceeded to get rid of a whole lot of other inequalities with legislation.
However, they've still got the major one of most school, all of those kinds of institutions are run by the Catholic Church, which still has a discrimination clause of being able to fire.
That's something the churches are very good at retaining.
We still have that here. Where if you're employed by a private institution, you could be fired on their discernment, I guess.
Yeah.
Mm. And so I suppose we get to start delving into the area of, is marriage equality queer, in moving from traditional church to, and the difference between the church and conservatism, and is there a difference? And to start taking us through that kind of exploration, I've actually grabbed a piece of audio from Yasmin Nair. Yasmin Nair is part of Against Equality, which is an anti-capitalist collective of radical queer and trans writers, thinkers and artists. This collective is known for their critical, outspoken critique of marriage equality. They've actually put the book out, Against Equality. One of the collective members, Yasmin, gives us a quick glimpse on what she thinks of marriage equality in this audio clip.
What we're saying is that the equality movement, exactly, the way it's configured, has nothing at all to do with any kind of social justice, any kind of equality under any law. It has everything to do with excluding people. from life-saving benefits, such as even now, such as healthcare, immigration status, any number of benefits you could name. The word equality has been vastly misused by the gay marriage movement. And what we wanted to do by naming ourselves as Against Equality was to first, of course, get people interested in our group. And also for us to be able to say, you know, you need to really question what the word equality means. For whom equality? For whom? Who disperses equality? Under what conditions, most importantly? Gay marriage is a fundamentally conservative institution, and conservatives love it. Conservatives, liberals, even leftists love it, because what it does is to shore up a system whereby, you know, a neoliberal system whereby benefits accrue to those with the most private resources. And that's what conservatism is all about, right? It's all about everyone for himself or herself. The state takes absolutely no responsibility for one's welfare. Every man and woman for himself or herself. That fundamentally is one of the tenets of conservatism. It's an economically gay marriage, not just gay marriage, but marriage is an economically sound institution for many conservatives.
That was Yasmin Nair from the Against Equality Collective in America, and her explaining that she believes marriage to be an inherently conservative tradition. So she doesn't talk about the church at all. She doesn't talk about the traditional framework of marriage based in that religious ideology. She talks about it from a conservative, neoliberal viewpoint of the family is an important unit for a neoliberal agenda, where it is a place in which you have resources collected, and therefore the state and the top 1% don't have to finance or support individuals in any way, because it's a responsibility of the family.
Tea party view.
It is a Tea Party view.
It's the Tea Party view. It's get government out. And Yasmin said, every man for himself and every person for themselves. And the less fortunate just fall by the wayside.
Mm.
And it's a complete appropriation of wealth in the hands of few.
Yeah.
That viewpoint.
So we'll be exploring more queer relationships shortly. You're listening to Queeries on Joy 94.9. My name is Lana. We have Emma and we have Madeline in the studio. And we have been exploring, is marriage equality queer? We've been talking to, or we've had a bit of a recap of marriage vows. We've had a bit of a chat with Fury, who sees it as an institution that's not particularly queer. And we've had a bit of a chat with Yasmin Nair from Against Equality, and her view that marriage equality is an inherently conservative view. So looking at the structure of marriage equality, we thought it'd be interesting to compare and contrast it to a relationship model which is often perceived as very queer, a dominant and submissive relationship. I spoke to Mad Dog and Amy, a couple of women in a dom-sub relationship, to explore its queerness, or lack of. And I started by asking them to explain what a dom-sub relationship is.
One couple doesn't always work for another couple. And by couple, it doesn't have to be just one person. It can be multiple. It can be a poly relationship set up. It can be many different people.
We'll focus on a standard couple being two people.
Yes.
I think that makes it easier.
I think it's easier.
Basically, with a dom sub set up, it's a power exchange. It's where one person has the authority and the other one is willing to hand that authority over. So they're still an individual person. They still have their emotions, feelings, capabilities and all those things. But they're in a subordinate position and they're happy to do that.
It is the willingness to be able to give over certain controls and faculties willingly, with consent, informed consent from both parties, in order to continue acts of daily living.
Is that different from traditional heteronormative relationships where we view a man as having control and as a woman having less control?
One, because you choose to do so, no one's forcing you to. You only submit to someone you wish to. So in this relationship, I'm the dom. I'm actually a master. So I'm the one that's in control. I make most of the decisions. And that was all negotiated beforehand, freely. And once agreed that we had a structure and this is how we're going to do things. Amy then went, yep, no worries, fine. I want to be under your control. Yes, that's fine. And we went from there.
I suppose from my perspective, to answer the question, it differs because both parties are actually consenting consciously to the relationship, to its bipartisan controls, and its micro fractions. Whereas in a normative hetero-style relationship that most feminists would review as quite controlling and male energy-centric controlling, if you like, where a male, you know, controls his wife, if you like, in this instance, she doesn't have informed consent about the behaviours that are being controlled, and that action is forced upon her, whereas these kind of relationships, they're informed. Both parties also have an out. There are options to break the relationship at any point or to change the relationship parameters at any point if required. If one element of the relationship isn't working, it can be renegotiated and reset. It's not actually necessarily a fixed point unless, of course, that's actually been negotiated. It's about informed consent. I think that's where they differ. It's actually a pleasure-gaining experience that there is pleasure in the ability to please somebody else through their actions, and so therefore by allowing the power exchange through informed consent to occur, there is that ability to create pleasure for both parties. And so because there's that win-win scenario created, and it actually enables them to have more power. So they don't lose power in that exchange, although it may perceive that way. Other relationships, so what we like to call vanilla relationships, which can be quite a derogatory term, we don't mean it to be, but it's just a way of describing non-BS relationships or non-power exchange relationships. But they don't often have that mass negotiation or mass discussion about, you know, the big things and the little things. On a regular basis between us, almost on a semi-daily basis, we light a candle to signify the joining of two souls, the light sharing between two souls, that we share a daily light and a daily path. And that's basically just to remind us on a daily basis, you know, on a semi-daily basis, but it's not just for the big special events. It's also on a, you know, a daily and weekly basis.
Each individual dynamic's going to be different, so some people will have a very private 5-minute quiet time where it's do you accept what we've negotiated? Are you going to be mine? You're going to do this, that and the other? And it's like, yes, I am. Thank you very much. Done. Other people have very public and large gatherings and they'll place a collar of some description around the neck of the submissive to signify that they're now no longer free. They now belong to someone. They're in the relationship. It just depends on the individuals. Not everyone uses collars to signify that. Sometimes I'll use a ring, I'll use a bracelet. In Amy's case, it's actually a gold anklet around her ankle there all the time. And depending on what we're going to as events and where we are in public, she'll have various other things around her neck.
For us, an elaborate ceremony wasn't needed. It was a private moment between us. We haven't seen a civil celebrant or anything of such, because at this time we're waiting for Australia to have marriage equality in this country to recognise its citizens as equal before venturing down that path, because at this stage in time it's not really fair for us to do a commitment ceremony with our family and friends if the country won't recognise it. So we're happy to be seen by our family and friends in a committed relationship, and they do recognise that. We're happy to be seen amongst ourselves in a committed relationship, in this style relationship, both amongst our family and friends and amongst ourselves privately until that day comes.
What makes your relationship queer, or even is your relationship a queer relationship?
Well, that's a good question. I mean, fundamentally it has to be, because we're both women, we're both sexually active with each other within the DS relationship, so it has a queer base. I'm a leather dyke, so I love women.
That helps.
Yeah, that helps too. So, I mean, from a traditional point of view, she's mine, we do everything that you'd normally expect to do from a couple. So that makes it queer in my mind. I don't know what everybody else thinks. But, yeah, it's just that we have the added intensity and facets of the DS that goes with it.
I suppose we do sit on the social edge of society's viewpoints of what is normal within a relationship, in the sense that I don't particularly come home from work and go, "Hi, honey, I'm home. You know, how are the kids and can I have a coffee, please?" It's more like, "Hi, sir, can I make you a coffee, please, after I've worked a 10-hour shift?"
Yeah.
And I like doing that.
Yes. I mean, it depends on what your definition of queer is. I mean, it's certainly alternative. It's not in mainstream normal. But then again, I've never been defined as mainstream normal, so... Mm.
And the fact that you can have more than one person in service to you, regardless of how they gender identify, in service to you, that also could help defined as queer and alternative.
Well, it does.
So it really comes down to that a dom-sub relationship is a relationship that is based on power dynamics. So really the big question is, can power dynamics in that way where one's a sub and one's a dom, can that be queer?
I've never actually stopped to think about it, because in my case it's...
Are power dynamics actually gender-aligned? And if you're viewing queer as from a gender perspective, then the answer is... Really, no, I guess. Because a power exchange really, in many instances, has nothing to do with gender.
No.
However, traditionally, because those who are more inclined to review their gender identity were the queer fraction, were more inclined to explore power dynamic relationships, it is a part of queer our queer history.
Mm.
I just don't think that it necessarily has to be queer.
No, it doesn't have to. I think it comes down to the people involved in the dynamic rather than the dynamic itself.
That was Mad Dog and Amy, a queer couple in a dom-sub relationship, exploring if their relationship can be considered queer and if a power exchange can be queer.
What an interesting discussion. And the struggle two people who are participating in that sort of relationship have with labels.
Mm.
That was really, really interesting. And how the power dynamic is actually probably for a lot of households the norm.
Yeah.
But for a same-sex couple, it's I think they're well into queer. We'll have them in queer quite happily.
I think that it was really interesting being able to hear them exploring the queerness of their relationship and if it is queer or not as they're kind of talking through it.
A very healthy DS relationship too, that it is based on pretty much a contract, an agreement of how it's going to work. And that in that discussion with you, they were still exploring that.
Mm. Yeah, so comparing and contrasting it to the marriage, you know, there's the power, there's the rituals, there's the symbols, the rings, the bracelet, the collar. They want to get married. They want to get married.
And I would think that the more queer you get, and if we identify that as queer, if we can identify what someone else is, if we identify that as queer, it's interesting that the queerer you get, you kind of come back around to marriage in this strange way.
Hmm. So is marriage equality queer?
I think a lot of people would argue that it is. I must hold out. I don't think it is, but text us and tell me what you think. But I'm not a fan.
Yeah, text us 0427JOY949 or onair@joy.org.au. Mm.
I'm not convinced on the whole marriage equality is queer thing, because I think what is being put to everybody is not exactly what queer people necessarily want.
Mm, so you're coming back to Fury now. You're listening to Joy 94.9. This is Queeries and we give you a queer take on the world. We've been talking marriage equality today, and is marriage equality queer? And for that case, are dom sub relationships queer? We have a lot of people to thank. I want to thank Fury, a young queer person who was talking about their understanding of the tradition of marriage and how that's not particularly queer. Mad Dog and Amy, who is in a dom sub relationship and exploring the queerness of their relationship, I want to acknowledge Yasmin Nair and the Against Equality Collective for their take on the conservatism. Thank you for all the people that have emailed or SMSed us in so far. And a big thank you to Grant H. Smith, who connected with us on Facebook this week. We will be podcasting this series very shortly.
We've been working on shows asking whether sex work is queer, is drag queer, and there's also a show on different polyamorous relationships and how queer are they. We look forward to sharing our work with you next week at 12:30. Thank you to Madeline on the panel. You're going away.
I know, I won't be here for a month. You'll miss my dulcet tones, but I imagine you guys will solve all the queer problems in that time.
Do we have queer problems?
You're only away for a month.
I think it's going to be... I'll see if I can podcast and hear you guys overseas.
Yeah, and a big thank you to the person who's just SMS'd in. There isn't anything that a queer person does queer. Isn't the more interesting question is, what do we do as queers that disassembles unjust systems and creates a more just future for everyone? From Candy.
Thanks, Candy.
Thanks, Candy. You're listening to Queries on Joy 94.9.
This podcast was produced by Joy Media. You can support Joy's diverse sound and diverse community this June by donating to Joy Radiothon 2024. Go to joy.org.au/radiothon. And remember, we all flourish with joy.